So this day, part of every day, as we seek to walk with God, let's prepare for finishing strong and ending well in this semester. We're pleased today to have Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, speaking and bringing the message, and he has some others that he'll be drawing forth as well. Dave began his professional career in the alumni office here at EMU before moving to Lancaster, PA, where he taught elementary and middle school physical education, was the athletic director, and coached several sports. After receiving his master's degree, he served as executive director of Camp Hebron for 5 years, and in 1991, he was invited to Lancaster Mennonite High School, where he served for 14 years as athletic director, along with various administrative duties, including middle school principal. He returned to EMU to carry out his vision for an athletic program of excellence through which Christian character is developed. And we're pleased to have you guiding us in reflection this day. Let's welcome Dave King.
Thank you for the opportunity. Finishing strong and ending well. Let me give you first a context, perhaps, to where we might go with this. It's difficult for me to share about life without sharing a little bit about athletics. And unfortunately, during the past week, athletics in the world of sports is not exactly the place that I want to be identified. The college sports scene is a real mess. Whether it be the officials assigner, an evaluator on the West Coast who resigned last evening after he reportedly made an offer to the officials prior to a game for either a cash reward or a trip to the Caribbean if they called a technical on the head coach or threw him out of the game. And then you go to Auburn University and you find out allegations of paying people to not leave their university early to go pro but to come back, or changing grades so that they can remain eligible. And even after watching the horrific injury of the player from Louisville, to recognize that someone is taking financial advantage of that with the new t-shirts that Adidas put on the market for $24.95, and they're now figuring out exactly where all that money is going to go to. And last but not least, the men's basketball coach from Rutgers University, and what you, if you had a chance to see any of the videos of what was going on there. It's not a pretty world, and sometimes I wonder why I continue to work in it. But let me take that context and that opportunity to share with you just for a minute why I continue to do what I'm doing and why I believe the athletic program here at EMU is critically important to the future of the university and its student body, and all of us. One could easily throw their hands up, and unfortunately, our view of sports at EMU, I think, is often through that lens of what we see on ESPN and Fox and everywhere else. And we carry that image of sports at that level down to this level, and we think it's all in the same breadbasket. Well, I would like to have you understand that the purpose and the goals of the athletic program at EMU is the shaping of lives. It is not on the wins and losses. However, we do want to win, and we will try to win, because we know that winning and successful programs add to the life of a campus community. But let me also extend to say that this learning of life's lesson and the preparation, all of college is preparation for beyond college and how you will do and how you are shaped, how you are molded, the experiences you have in the classroom and common grounds and the intramurals, wherever it happens to be. And for those persons who are gifted enough to play at the collegiate level, it is the opportunity to use those experiences to then shape who they become later. There's nothing more valuable to me than to be able to talk to an alumnus who can go back to an experience that they recall on the court or the field and recognize how that experience and what they learned from that experience and what they felt in that experience is now showing itself within something that they are facing in their job, their community, their church, or their family life. That's why we do what we do. But the really cool thing about the sports program here is, in my mind, it's not only for the athletes, it's for all of us. Because all of us have an opportunity to respond to and to be entertained by, but to learn a lesson from the games that are played. So that's the context, and I was pleased when Brian asked me to talk about finishing strong and ending well, because it fell right into the lap of exactly what we try to do. No doubt you've been at a game, no matter what the sport is, and what happens in the last quarter, in the last minute, in the last set, in the last 100 meters of the race. How do you prepare for that, and how do you handle that? I've said before that one of the things that drove me into working in the world of sports was an experience I had as a youngster when I failed a math test. And I got the test back from the teacher, and if you can recall the days of those desks, you got the test back and it had all the red marks on, and you right away turned it upside down and you slid it into your textbook or underneath or your book bag, and no one ever knew that I failed that test. But when we were down by 1 point on the basketball court and I missed 2 foul shots, everyone knew I failed. That's what set me on the course to say, this is where I'm going to learn about life. Because if I can learn through this experience, it's going to shape me for later when I fail or succeed, etc. So that is ultimately the goal. And I want to take just a plug, if I can, Brian, to say that in the midst of all of that's going wrong that we can see about Division I sports and college sports, next week is declared Division III week by the NCAA. In the past, we've not done much with that. This year, we are teaming up with Bridgewater College so that we can get more publicity. There's already a really sort of funky or goofy, I guess it's goofy just because it's me, a promo clip that is airing on WHSV, and it will be on the radios as well, promoting the Division III week. And so we want to take the opportunity to educate people as to exactly who it is that we are, other than just the division of NCAA that doesn't give scholarships. We are far more than that. We'll be highlighting that. There's going to be t-shirt giveaways at the baseball games tomorrow and Sunday, and softball and baseball games next week. Our student athletes and coaches are visiting the local middle schools. We'll be at Thomas Harrison Middle School and Skyline Middle School to talk about sports. And then next Friday, a week from today, we're having a blood drive and we're going to compete against Bridgewater College. And if it's possible, Ben Spotts, who is our baseball coach who transferred from having spent 14 or so years at Bridgewater, he's agreed that if he gives blood, he'll give it in the name of EMU and not Bridgewater. But okay, so we are competing and against them. Now, they have quite a few more students than we do, so I don't know, can you afford two? I don't know, we'll see. Anyway, so the context is to say the purpose of our sports program is to provide opportunities for learning life's lessons for you as spectators. How do you respond to someone who wins, loses? How do you respond to that? How do you treat an athlete? How does an athlete treat you? All of that. So it fits very well, because one of the joys I have is to find something in sport that parallels to something I'm experiencing in life over here, or that you are. So I thought I'd let you hear specifically from 3 people about what it means for them to finish strong at the end. So I've asked Kayla Baltimore, come on up, Kayla, point guard, and Dan Nafsinger is from the cross country and track team, and Kirby Dean is the men's basketball coach. So if the 3 of you want to come up here, I'm going to ask them a couple of questions so you can hear specifically from them as to what it means and how they handle the last seconds or the last parts of it. Come on up here, Kayla. All right, so you're the point guard,
yeah,
on the basketball team, and I want to know, let's put together a little scenario where the score is tied and they have the ball. Okay. 20 seconds to go. What's going through your mind? What are you thinking about? How do you handle that situation when you're on the defensive end and they have the ball and they can score and win the game? How do you cope with that?
I mean, I just try to focus on basically the other team because they do have the ball. So I try to focus on the weaknesses that I see that's on the court for their team. Basically, like, who's the shooter, who's not a shooter, and who can't handle pressure. Because, I mean, if you guys have seen us play, our defense is our offense. So I just try to, like, balance that out and know that if we attack on their weaknesses, then that'll basically help us make a play. So,
okay. Now let's flip it around and let's say you have the ball. You're the point guard, you run mm-hmm. the offense. Now we're down one and we have the ball. Mm-hmm. 20 seconds to go. I know Griffin has told you what you're supposed to do, but what do you do? Tell me how you handle it now that you're in control of the outcome. How do you manage that, and what do you focus on?
Well, yeah, like he said, I'm the point guard, so honestly, the ball's in my hand probably 80% of the time. So I think it's my job to make sure things go accordingly in those last seconds. So I try to focus on my team, making sure my teammates are in the right places and that I am in the right position to do what I need to do to help my team succeed.
In general, how do you handle pressure? Do you worry about failing? Does that come in? You don't worry about failing?
No.
Why do you think that is? You're not afraid to fail? You've let the whole stands down. You've let Coach Griffin down. You let your teammates down. But you don't worry about it?
I mean, not really. Like, I'm a coach's kid, and I've been a point guard since I was probably 6 or 7 years old. So I've been in a lot of those kind of situations, and for me, I feel like I handle them pretty well. Mm-hmm. I just always remember to keep calm and keep my composure and to always have the mindset that I'm capable of doing what I need to do in those last seconds or in those last plays to help my team succeed. So, like, I don't really have a negative mindset going into those.
Do you hear the people around? Do you hear the fans?
No. Like, honestly, there's so many games. Like, I think after, like, wow, like, I didn't hear any of the fans screaming. I didn't hear my coach. I just was focused on what was right in front of me. So I don't hear anything. It's weird.
Good. Thank you. Dan, come on up here.
All right. So you run a lot of distances. This morning when I finished my 3-mile run, I don't think I had the same feelings that you probably have at the end of your 5K, I can tell you that, or 500,000 meters or whatever it is that you run. So tell us about the last 400 meters of a 5K race. What's going through your mind? I'm sure it's different from race to race, but what is it that you try to put into your mind, your psyche, your being as you're coming down in that last little while?
Well, the last part of a race, especially the last 400 meters, last lap, your body has been kind of screaming at you the entire time to kind of stop and slow down because it's really unnatural if you think about it, what you're doing. So,
crucifying your body, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when it comes to the last lap, that's where, I mean, from there, you have such a short amount of time left in the race, so it's kind of a battle between, you know, speeding up and slowing down, which one's in your body really wants you to do. But when it comes to that last lap, that's when you have to come to that realization that, like, you know, you're all in at this point, you know, you've made it this far. So it's shutting out the bad and focusing on the good, focusing on picking it up, actually, instead of slowing down.
If there is a more important part of a 5K race, which is it? Is it the beginning? Is it the middle? Is it the end? How do you prepare yourself, or how do you run a race in those different segments, those three parts?
I guess the beginning is important to pay attention to because you don't want to go out too fast, but I'd say the most important part's the middle. In the middle part of a race, that's where you start to kind of lose focus and kind of lose control of yourself, and it's also when the end isn't really near. Once the end is in sight, it becomes a lot easier mentally to pick it up, but that middle part, you're kind of in no man's land, and it's kind of intimidating to finish.
Interesting. Does that sound like your semester, by the way? Interesting start, sort of loose focus in the middle, and then it's strong. Thanks, Dan. Let's get a coach's perspective from that. Kirby, you've been in a lot of last-second games, both probably as a player and a coach, and I think you were just telling me that this year we had 6 of them.
over the last
over
2 years.
Over the last 2 years, we've had six of them, and credit to the coach, five of those times we won when we had possession the last time. What does a coach do, first of all, to prepare a team for that last possession or that last 2 minutes of the game?
Well, I think the word prepare is the key. I think as a coach, you have to be ready for that moment before you're in that moment. If you get in that moment and you're trying to make adjustments, you could be in some trouble. So prior to every game, I look at what the other team does defensively, and we think of what are two or three plays we could run in the last 10 seconds that based on what they do defensively will work. Because different teams do different things defensively, so you got to be ready to run different plays depending on who the opponent is. And then the other thing I look at is who do we want the ball in their hands? And you touched on that with Kayla a little bit. She talked about not being afraid to fail. When I go recruit, I look for kids that are arrogant, cocky, swag, all that, which sometimes doesn't translate well off the floor. You have to calm them down a little bit. But if they're not afraid to be the GOAT, that's the kid you want to have the ball in his hands. So the last 2 years, six times we've gone into the last 10 seconds with a chance to tie or win, and five times we've scored, and one time we missed a three at the buzzer against Roanoke here and lost. So the conversion rate's been pretty good, not because of me, but because of the kids.
Do you feel the pressure tightening up on either you or the players as you come down, either whatever the situation, either you've had a lead and you've lost it, which we've done sometimes, or as you get down to that and you realize that, you know, it's either going to be a W or an L, and that might say a lot. It might, it's not going to take care of your job, but it's going to do. But it might be in the tournament, out of the tournament, whatever.
Right.
Do you feel that pressure coming?
Honestly, I don't. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the reason I've been able to survive in this business for 20-plus years, because in my mind, I talk out of both sides of my mouth. I'm the same guy that pulls up at a stoplight beside somebody, and if they eyeball me down, I'm beating them to the next stoplight with I have to go 70 in a 35. But at the same time, I think I have enough perspective that when the game's over, the game's over. I tell people all the time, if I go home and Regina's good and Macy's good, then I'm good. So I don't put that kind of pressure on myself. I want to win really, really bad. In the heat of the moment, I may look like a raving lunatic. But a half hour when it's over, you know, I'm holding my daughter at home watching, you know, cartoons as she falls asleep. So it's all about perspective.
Is there anything that you do specifically to reduce the stress or the pressure on the players? I mean, I know you said you want the kids who don't really feel the pressure.
We certainly
you can see it coming.
I voice where I'm coming from on that. The thing I've said to my teams over the years, when you're between the lines during those 40 minutes, there's nothing more important than college basketball. During that time, that is number one. There's nothing in the world more important. The second you step across that line and the game's over, it's really one of the most insignificant things that you're really involved in. So, again, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I get that. But I think if you can grasp that perspective, you can have swag in the final moments of a game and not be afraid of being the hero or the GOAT, and you can also enjoy your life.
Good. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks to all of you. Thank them. Let me add one comment to Kirby's moment at the end, because we've had this conversation with him before. Several years ago, when the men's basketball team did do very well and a fourth in the nation, one of the reasons was because we had a few kids on that team that were not afraid to have the ball at the end, because they were not afraid to make a mistake. Now, you can say that they were swag or arrogant or whatever. I've talked to a couple of those kids, and they also recognize the fact that this community was a community that did not base their personal self-worth or value on whether they made or missed a shot. And that becomes extremely freeing, and I can tell you that that is exactly the kind of lesson that should be carried over and put into life somewhere. So that when you are making that final pitch on the sales floor for somebody and they turn you down and walk away, you'll know how to deal with that. So the sense of community, and whether or not we look at our athletes and place value on them as a person, on their success on the court or field, is very paramount to how their experience goes. Again, this is something that all of us can learn. Let's talk about how to finish strong and end well. And I know some of the focus is going to be on academics, because we're ending the semester. There's a few faculty and staff sitting around here that are a little uncomfortable today, too, because next week we all start getting our health screenings. And I've seen people
If you want to watch change in eating habits, go in the dining hall in the last 2 weeks and you'll see a very change. I want to give message to those of you that are trying that, it ain't going to work. Because if you haven't prepared, as these athletes and coaches said, if you haven't prepared, it's not going to help you much later. So I don't think that you can change your BMI index by one tuna fish sandwich instead of a hot pastrami or something. How do we finish well and finish strong? A couple of ideas that come to my mind after listening to them and seeing what they go through and do that. Turn all the other clutter off outside. Stay focused on what's in front of you. One of the beauties of education, in my mind, is this rhythmic pattern of starts and stops, beginnings and endings, freshness and newness, maybe it's loss of focus in the middle and then ending strong. I always loved the start of a semester. I always had these great ideals. I always bought the textbooks and started looking through them, and then I had my planner and I had everything set up in my dorm room and everything was ready to go and this was going to be the best semester. And then I must have hit that middle and all of a sudden it just kind of went away and then I'm scrambling at the end. But the beauty of it is you get to start again. But one of the challenges will be to say, how do I take what I learned in this experience and put it into the next one? So I would encourage you to focus on what has to be accomplished, push out all the other distractions, and I would recommend that you set yourself some type of a schedule that allows you to focus and then leave it. This is not a marathon. This is a short focus and then let it go. Do something recreationally, come back to it. Second point I make, don't let the fear of the outcomes immobilize you. Now, that doesn't mean you just give up and say, okay, if I fail the test, I fail the test. I don't do well on the project, don't do well on the project. Too often, the fear of failure, the fear of what's ahead of us, immobilizes us, causes us not to be able to act. Enter into it with the confidence that tomorrow the sun will come up. It doesn't mean you don't give your best effort, but it means the end result of this test, this semester, this course, this relationship, this point in your life doesn't necessarily will be dictated by passing or failing or not doing as well as you would have wanted to do. This rhythmic activity of education is more like sprints than a marathon in my mind. It's 13 weeks. You divide the whole year up and that's just it. And we go through this all the time. So take the experiences of this one and apply them to the next one. And then take those experiences and apply them to the next one. Focused energy, avoid the distractions, don't fear the tomorrows. If those things can help us finish strong and end well, I think we're on the right track. There's a whole other area in which I'm concerned about how we finish strong and end well, and that's with life. Perhaps because I crossed that threshold from 59 to 60 in a couple of weeks, I fear death more than I did before. And so that's another area in which I have to learn how to finish strong and end well. And going through the experience of the death of my mother within the last couple of months, I begin to recognize once again what it means to finish strong and end well. And so I close with a couple of comments from tributes that were given to my mother on her passing. And I will say that I haven't talked about this publicly, so this is a little bit more on the difficult side, perhaps. I had a conversation with my mother within hours of her death on the telephone. The beauty of technology, because I couldn't get to Pennsylvania in time. I don't think I talked at all. She may have talked. But it was powerful in the sense that she said to me, I said, I wish I could make it in time. She knew she was dying. She said, don't worry about it. but I would love to sit and talk with you. But she said, I do want to tell you, I'm proud of everything that you've done. Now, that's something I won't forget for a long time. I won't tell you where I was standing and how I was on the phone with her or anything anyway. She had prepared her whole life. And as I enter closer to that era, and I'm just because I'm 60 doesn't mean I'm going to die, but as I look at that, I begin to recognize that as much as I fear it, as I watched my mother die, I recognize the fact that she was well prepared and she could finish strong because of the preparation in the back. These were some comments made by her grandchildren, my children. Even last Friday, when you knew it was your last day with us, you thought it was taking way too long to die. Did you remain serious and pious? Not you. You remained witty and irreverent, and you said, and I quote, if it's taking this long, I must have had a bad record or something. We recognize, Grandma, that through your prayers, your acceptance of everyone, your servant attitude, your hospitality, you embodied Christ for us. Last Friday, you verbalized to me that what you have been living out your entire life, your deep love for us, came to life as you held my hand and said, please tell the grandchildren to follow me. My hope is that you live lives that radiate Christ's love. Getting ready for the end has a lot to do about the beginning and the middle. And so even though wherever you're at with this particular semester, with this particular portion of your life, finishing college, moving on, taking this, moving here, going there, wherever it happens to be, use each experience to prepare for the next one. Prepare yourself for the end. And when you get to the end, make sure that you recognize that you can focus on what's ahead of you and that you can move ahead with confidence, not fearing what the next one is because of all the preparation you've done in the back. May each of us find our way to finish strong and end well with our academics, with our relationships, with our spiritual life, and I hope that I'm at that point when I pass on and that part of finishing strong, that I can do it based upon everything that has led up to it. Let's pray. God, thanks for an opportunity to learn lessons of life from each other, from the experiences that you place in front of us. As we enter into the end of the semester, we enter some with joy, some with fear, some with trepidation, some with challenges, some unknowns. Lord, help us to focus on our work, our relationships, and to plug out everything, push everything else out that would keep us from keeping that focus, and to not fear the future because we know you have hold of the future and we will be with you in that. Amen.